So, do you have any idea what net neutrality actually means?
Okay, let's just pick somewhere where everybody likes to be. Watching the girl at Hot Dog on a Stick make lemonade. I think we can all agree that's pretty compelling. But then, like, the big internet service provider puts up a wall and says you can't watch the girl at Hot Dog on a Stick make lemonade unless she pays us. Meanwhile, they're trying to make you watch Robin Williams' cousin make bacon juice.
That's courtesy of AskAninja.com. Hopefully that explains for you a little more, especially if you like watching the girl at Hot Dog on a Stick make lemonade. But really, net neutrality deals with our civil rights and whether or not we all have a right to access the internet. Well, the idea of net neutrality took a major, major fall yesterday when the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia made a decision in the case between the FCC and Comcast. With details, we have Cecilia Kang with us. She's a technology reporter for The Washington Post. Cecilia, can you explain this ruling in this case between the FCC and Comcast and what it means?
Sure. So the ruling was very significant yesterday in that it had to deal with that narrow one episode by Comcast in a narrow case in a federal appeals court in the U.S. District of the District of Columbia. And what happened was, in a unanimous decision, three judges decided that the FCC's, the Federal Communication Commission's, decision in 2008 to sanction Comcast for slowing and blocking a peer-sharing site called BitTorrent was unfounded, that it was beyond the FCC's scope, that the FCC basically did not have the authority to make that decision. So by doing that, by basically questioning whether the FCC had those kinds of powers, the court threw into flux and into doubt the FCC's ability to administer net neutrality policies and rules, and frankly threw into question whether the FCC has any right to create policies or be a watchdog of the web at all.
Well, most people are expecting the FCC to appeal this to the Supreme Court. Do we have any idea of what attitude the Supreme Court may take to the idea of net neutrality?
Right. Well, you know, I think that it's still up in the air as to what the FCC will do. There are a few options. One might be to appeal this case, but some people would say that could land the FCC every time it tries to do anything related to broadband policy. That could be the deployment of new broadband. That could be truth in billing for your internet service provider. That could be net neutrality. Every time the FCC tries to do something and it appeals this decision, then somebody who opposes any rules by the FCC could take the FCC straight to court again. So that's just one option, appealing. The other option would be completely classifying, changing the way that the agency deals with broadband and putting it as a category alongside phone services, which the FCC does regulate. And that would make it more, that would make it easier in some ways for the FCC to regulate broadband and to administer these net neutrality rules that it wants to do. So there are a couple options in mind. As far as what the Supreme Court says, you know, the courts have traditionally not been friendly to the FCC about this particular issue, net neutrality, and the Federal Appeals Court will be always cited as an example and its decision for any sort of legal action or any sort of avenue that the FCC might do to carve out a more clear authority on this issue through the courts.
Cecilia Kang is a technology reporter for The Washington Post. For more analysis on this, let's turn to Siva Vaidyanathan. He's an associate professor of media studies at the University of Virginia. Siva, the Obama administration has come out pretty strong on the idea of net neutrality and access to the internet as a civil right, almost as though we have as much right to access the internet as we do to get water or electricity in our homes. What do we know about the sort of the case log? How have the federal courts across the country treated this idea?
Well, courts have, of course, not been particularly enlightened about this issue because it's a really complex regulatory question. The courts looking at this issue are looking at the 1996 Telecommunication Act and doing all sorts of semantic, almost metaphysical analysis in a tortured effort to arrive at their preferred policy position. And what you're really seeing here in the D.C. court's decision is an explicit embrace of an almost pre-New Deal attitude toward regulation, saying that if Congress used clumsy pre-internet language in the act to set up the regulatory duties of the FCC, they're going to read it literally and ignore all sorts of important precedents, ignore legislative history in order to come to a policy decision that the court has decided. And so what you have here now is the court essentially saying Comcast can do whatever it wants, can block and slow down whatever service it wants. It means I'm a Comcast subscriber, so I have a bit of a conflict of interest here. But basically, I'm not sure that I'm going to be able to use Skype tomorrow, as I did yesterday. Comcast has no legal barrier to disrupting my Skype service and thus driving me to use more of Comcast's own voice services. And the other important thing to remember here in a policy sense is within a few months, Comcast and NBC are going to be the same company. And NBC is a major provider of online video. NBC is a partner in Hulu. Is Hulu going to arrive cleaner, faster, easier over my internet service than, say, YouTube, will Comcast force Google to pay up extortion money to make sure that their signal gets through carefully? The internet has been based on this principle since we started using it in a commercial sense, and really the principle has allowed fast-rising entrepreneurial companies like Google, like YouTube, like Skype to come into our lives because it's been a level playing field. We cannot guarantee a level playing field in the future, and so this is one of the most devastating cases because it really changes the culture and environment of internet commerce.
But it's nice to hear that you're really passionate about it. Siva Vaidyanathan obviously thought about this a lot. He's an associate professor of media studies at the University of Virginia, and it is a pretty significant impact of this ruling. We'll find out how that turns out. Coming up, our series DIY Bailout continues. All you need to know about that three-digit number that you try not to look up, your credit score.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.